It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the conversation of playing a character. We all get the concept of playing a character, right? Somebody playing a role they were cast into, but in some ways, are we doing this exact same thing in our everyday lives? Jeff?
Every child has a time where they play pretend. I pretended I was a race car driver. I was a police officer. I was Lone Ranger in the Westerns. You know, I found some hero, or Superman. Loved to be Superman because he was invulnerable. But you pretended to be something that you were not.
I'm just sitting here laughing because sometimes my wife and I will be walking around the house and I'll just start randomly talking in different accents. So I really enjoy stupid stuff like that.
Being a character.
Yeah, I do. I love to be a character. I am kind of a character in general, right? What's funny is when we went to Disney, my favorite thing about Disney was as we were going around the parks, I'm like pointing out to my mom and my wife about how I go, look at how perfectly all of these people are cast into these roles. Like, it's like we're walking around and experiencing a real life live play. For example, like we had dinner one night at a French restaurant, Be Our Guest. And everybody there is speaking in French accent. And like, it was just really cool to know that, like, man, every last little detail here has been casted.
Well, I think a lot of those events, whether it's Comic-Con, you know, where you go and they have like a theme of Star Trek or whatever, and everyone dresses up, what they've done is they've eliminated the spectator seat and everyone's on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, even by you being there, not even in costume, you're still walking into and participating in the whole script.
Mm-hmm.
And they interact with you in a way that in a theater kind of situation.
Sure. Right, you're more of a, you're not just the audience now.
Yeah, you're part of the actual, and it's a live, I don't know how to say this, it's not a set script, except for the characters that they're playing. So they're going to stay in character, but how they interact in your personal life will be very different than, like, say myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so day to day, it's different every time. Trying to step into this alternate universe that, really, that we just imagine. It's not real.
To be a character that they're not normally.
Right. You've got the same thing. I think the reason why people fall into these weird fetishes, like with furries and trying to live out these quote-unquote fantasies that degrade and denigrate themselves as opposed to improve and make them better.
And it's like the lines of imagination have been just totally erased. And it's that, well, no, I imagine myself as a whatever, an animal, and that's what I am now, and you got to treat me as such.
Well, there's this hijack that's happened. Mm-hmm. Where we've gone from wanting to be like our heroes to being like the villains. Like, how about all these movies out now that there's the anti-hero? There's from movies to The Boys, I think is what it's called on Amazon, and it's all these horrible heroes. They're not really heroes, though. They're villains posing as heroes.
Very interesting. That is an interesting shift of typically, I don't know, let's say maybe 30 years ago and beyond, there was always the, like you just said, the hero in the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of who people, oh, I want to be like that. There has seemed to be a shift. And I would just wonder when that started or like what caused that to... I mean, you can't say anything other than intentional manipulation or propaganda would be the result of the shift happening, but I just wonder when it started happening, and if we could trace it back to that time, if we could kind of see a denigration of our society slowly starting to come about as a result.
I can tell you when I first noticed it. I can't tell you when it first started. I got a few years on you. So I remember as a child, once a year, dressing up like certain things. And I remember dressing up as Frankenstein, vampires, now Superman too, but a bum. One year I was a bum, had a cigar and everything. You know, I was a little kid, I'm a bum. You know, nobody wants to grow up and be a bum, but I chose to be a bum. And a clown, Jason with a mask. And there was something fun about becoming the monster you were afraid of.
All right.
So others were afraid of you like you were afraid of that monster you imagined, if that makes sense.
Sure.
That's when I can think of when I began to fantasize about being the monster.
All right.
I don't know if that's where it started with Halloween or if it was some other time, but as a 5 or 6 year old, that's when I can think of.
And then when you kind of look up the ancient origins and practices of said holiday, you're kind of like, they've been doing that a long time.
Yeah, because you were dressing up like the dead.
Right.
You know.
So as much as it may be, I guess I say that to say, as much as it may be new to us.
Same old, same old.
Is it just the same old historical repeat pattern over and over again?
It's dressed up paganism. That's what it is.
Man.
Yeah.
But we've all been guilty and maybe some ways still are guilty of partaking in those practices.
I think it's so hard because we're like, okay, when I was a kid, my parents put on a haunted house.
Okay.
And so we'd allow everyone in the neighborhood who wanted to come through to walk through our haunted house that we created. And we were the characters scaring everybody.
So it was probably fun.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, people said you could charge admission for this. And it was just free.
And then, y'all are like, we just get enough thrill out of doing it. Yeah. We're good.
We had so much fun scaring people. I mean, there was more candy that we found inside the house that people dropped than we gave out. You know, it's like you got candy at the very end.
Cycle that back for next year.
What was hard for me to separate was from Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween at my house, but I have such fond memories.
So you have a hard time separating from your nostalgia and your lack of continuing the practices you once partook in.
Well, knowing what it is, its origin is and what it glorifies, I hate. But because there's so few memories I have of when my family got along and we were together and doing things that were productive. Well, I can't say productive, but we weren't fighting each other.
Yeah, you know, everybody was like enjoying themselves in a shared experience.
Yeah, it was a good time. And so there's some nostalgia there. There's some fond memory there. And so it's hard for me to parse it. In fact, my younger brother, he still does it, even though he knows the background to it. But he wants to have that same shared experience with his kids. And so they put on a haunted house.
Mm.
In any situation, it's hard for us to pull away from what it actually means and what we want it to mean.
Right. Well, I would totally agree. We don't have that kind of nostalgic memory, but like we like to, my wife and kids and I, we used to love to just dress up in a random family costume. Mm-hmm. We just always loved it. Then when you start to read the, like I said just a minute ago, the origins and the practices of this and the things that this can open doors to spiritually in your life. Not saying it will, saying the things it can.
Yeah, can.
Is it worth the risk? And for me, I say no, but I'm not everybody. So I get the differing opinions on the subject. I just, you know, I had to ask myself ultimately, like, how does this in any way, shape, or form glorify God? Like, if I really enjoyed just putting on the costume, for example, like, hey, we could dress up and take a group picture all dressed up as a random family costume at any point in time in the year and be like, hey, here we are dressed up as the, you know what I mean, whatever it may be. Versus, what are we celebrating out here? We're going out, we're celebrating, we're part, by us consenting and partaking in this festivity, we're potentially opening ourselves up to something we want no part of.
As a pastor, I'm around a lot of people with a lot of differing practices and thoughts, right? And so as it pertains to this subject, I don't sit there in judgment and condemnation as I look at people who celebrate Halloween when I don't. I remember a day when I didn't understand what I do now. And so I'm convinced if they knew, they would feel the same way. But and even if I tell them right now, they're going, oh, I don't know if I believe that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and
so if that's not the place you're in, you're not going to hear it.
Right. And so it's like, it's one of those things where it's, I conscientiously can't participate and engage in that cultural practice, but I don't stand in judgment of those who do.
Well, I think there's a huge difference in oblivious ignorance and just simply, I genuinely didn't know. You know what? I did know. God did put that conviction on my heart, and I just chose to ignore it. Those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be accountable for what you know and choose not to acknowledge versus maybe be protected from what you didn't know so you couldn't acknowledge.
I hate to say it, but sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit in our life like a fly, like shoe fly, don't bother me.
Yeah, like, hey, shh, get out of here.
Yeah,
I hear you whispering in my ear, but I don't want to hear that.
We've all been guilty of that, and unfortunately, and hopefully as you age and mature, you come out of that, so.
Sure, and in terms of playing a character,
yeah.
You showed me this video of Jim Carrey where he talks about, you know, spending his life in different character roles and then coming to the eventual realization of all these people are just characters that I've played, but none of them are truly me. The separation of the two of them and how he kind of came to his realization or conclusions that, you know, I don't have to always be the person I'm playing because I'm trying to live up to or be like somebody that I'm simply just not. There's a lot of truth there.
More than we like to admit, many of us play a character. There's an expectation placed upon us by the people we're around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll put a smile on, not because you're happy, but because you know they expect to see one.
Sure. And how many people are right now are working a job that they absolutely hate? They've compromised due to maybe financial necessity, whatever it may be. Everybody's got a reason for what it is they're doing, whether it be right or wrong. They've decided not to fulfill and live out their purpose for something that was viewed as more safe, steady, and consistent. But every day they're playing this role of this position and they hate it.
How about this? There's people who go to school for 4 to 6 years in a field they thought they wanted to do, come to find out, no, I just chose a career path that either my parents wanted me to do or my friends were doing it, so I chose to do it too. They go through and do it and end up doing it for a year, actually working in that career path and hate it.
Sure.
And find that they want to do something else entirely. In fact, I forget what the percentage is. It's pretty high of people who are working outside of their education field.
Well, and you're supposed to know exactly what it is that you want to spend the next 40 to 50 right. years doing by the time you're 18 years
old. Give me a break, man.
How are you supposed to do that? Seriously.
I didn't know who I was at 18.
Figure out what you want to do
for
the rest of your life that's older than you are.
Mm-hmm. In the same way that we play characters, sometimes we characterize certain career paths a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we crop, right? So if you ask a five-year-old, what's it mean to be a cop versus you ask one of us, you're going to get a completely different description of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Kids in particular, especially children, but even young adults, have a very idealistic, very innocent, very naive, we say, view of how things work.
Sure.
So they think if I'm a teacher, then all I'm doing is helping better others. All I'm doing is helping kids who want to learn grow.
And then you find out otherwise.
If I'm a doctor, all I'm doing is helping people heal.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a lawyer, all I'm doing is helping people not go to prison. I don't know. Whatever your certain thing that you thought it was.
Sure.
I know that in ministry, I thought ministry was, I was going to study the Bible all day. And then once a week, I get up and I get to share with everybody what I learned. Now, that's part of what I do.
Sure.
But it's actually a very small percent of what I do.
Mm-hmm. And I think, as you just described, with any of those above career fields, you would say the exact same. Like, oh, no, that's just a small percentage of what this actually entails.
What happens is at some point, you come to realize there's a lot of cons in this job that I can't live with for the small little joys I'm going to get from it. And now that I see the full picture and I don't see a character of what it is, but the actual representation of what it is, I want nothing to do with that. The other side of this is as you're trying to figure out your life, there are others who've got it all figured out about in regards to how they're going to play the system by being a character. Isn't that the whole thing about this data drop with all these things and files and emails and whatever else?
Sure.
With the Jeffrey situation, is we're finding out we've got a lot of people at the top who are playing characters of what we thought they were, and we're finding out they're nothing like what they portray themselves to be on TV or
sure. what their image office. Has been made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's so terrifying that there really are wolves out there in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out guy knew what he was talking about or
yeah,
something.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's like, so at the same time, while we're in a very productive and innocent way, trying to make sound decisions that affect us and others in very positive ways, you got people out there just trying to game the system and take advantage of people.
Well, how about, this is probably a good way to explain it, as we just described, people liking to go to these different types of events where you dress up in character outfits and you're almost a live role-playing audience in the script, per se. I think that's probably safe to say that that's happening, but in the real world with real characters, real decisions, and real outcomes happening. Real consequence.
Stakes.
Yeah, there you go. There's real stakes to what's happening in this play that's on the grand stage, per se.
I watch my boys, my young men, who they still love games, video games, and they're always buying new ones of, again, a simulated reality. And they're often survival games. You know, they gather food, build shelters, avoid the zombies, whatever. They ask, you know, what do you think? And my answer often is this: that's pretty good, but it doesn't compete with the real world. You know, the only difference is the time span in which your life span exists in the video game is in fast forward. So like you got to hurry up and gather supplies and you don't live very long, as opposed to in real life, you know, it takes time to acquire wealth and to build your home and to make a home, to find your spouse. All those things it takes a lot more time and work and effort and methodical thought as opposed to stepping into a reality that somebody else made where you just engage and parameters are set and you just exist and try and thrive.
Sure.
On a very small level.
I think what's also interesting, though, to some extent, is in that programming, those type of games seem to be the most popular. Even back when I was your son's age, those always seem to be the most popular video games. I mean, many of my friends also played them. And it's fascinating to me that is always what's desired by young men, I guess. I don't know so much that young ladies play those games. Maybe they do. But young men desire to be the alphas they were designed to be, mm-hmm. and our society is telling them not to be. So they've almost in some ways like moved it to a simulated reality to satisfy the natural desires of what they should be doing in actual reality.
Well, that's deep. Yeah. So in other words, the man that society says you must suppress, video games are the only place they can express it.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But yeah, I think that's an accurate statement.
Mm-hmm. That's what men should be doing. They should be establishing their household. They should be leading their household. They should be, like you just said, building with their wives in marriage, building their homes, establishing themselves, building wealth for generations.
In life, you get resistance from all kinds of fronts. In the video game, it's usually just like that's this one opposing force, zombies or the enemy or yep. whatever it is. And it's kind of predictable. Best case scenario is, okay, you die in the video game, you hit reset and start over again. Yeah, it doesn't work that way in life. You know, I mean,
sure.
yes, you can start over, but man, is that grueling or what?
When
you,
sure.
If you've ever been in bankruptcy or made a very bad decision and it landed you with a prison sentence and now you got a record.
Yeah, it certainly is not as easy as just clicking the reset button.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So the stakes in life are much higher, and like you said, consequences and most people, the sad part is, can't cope. And that's why they're on medication or they do the extreme thing where they end their life. And
sure.
It's heartbreaking.
And then all that being said, I think you can make a fair argument that, as you just described with these files coming out, there are a group or groups of people who are actively conspiring against people to basically hinder their best lives or their best reality. So like you said, the unknown forces in real life that kind of come at you, we're kind of seeing one of those main unknown forces are those we've put some of the most trust in as for our betterment.
There's how we're led to believe the world works. Many of the systems that we give and play into are pyramid schemes, mm-hmm. meant to deprive you and defraud you. Our money system, I'm sorry, but it's built on inflation. People don't realize this, but inflation's a hidden tax.
Yep.
Most people experience this now. Your pay's not gone up, but the taxes and the purchasing power of the dollar has gone down. And so, you know, remember when you could spend $200 and fill your grocery cart 5 years ago? Now, $200 and you just bought three meals.
Yeah, pretty close, seriously.
You know, it's blindly obvious, but this is a charade.
Well, and sometimes too, as obvious as it may present itself, it's just hard to look at.
And that's the worst part is...
sometimes you just don't want to see it. You don't. And that's, I mean, how that goes for all of us,
yeah,
right?
How many times do you bump into that every day? We're like, ooh, I didn't want to know that.
Yeah. Well, because like I described earlier, once you know, you're responsible for the fact that you know.
Well, again, because we know, we have agency and we're able to say, hey, I don't like that. And I'm going to do everything within my power, may not be very much, but everything in my power to change that outcome.
And sometimes that's an easy excuse to give ourselves, right? Is to say, well, that could be true, but what am I going to do about it?
One of my frustrations, I go out of my way to pour into leaders, people who are going to influence more than just themselves. I keep bumping into leaders who shrink back into a five-year-old child and go, but what can I do about it? That's where you man up, implement the needed change.
Sure.
So, not playing a character, leaning into who you truly are, who God made you to be, and stand up and step up.
Well, and Jim Carrey, he says in this video, he says how fear is going to be a player in everyone's life, but you get to decide how big of a player it will be.
Again, and the cosplay... you know, imagined Disneyland kind of version that most people live in, the world they choose to engage with every day has very little risk. Mm-hmm. Not because it doesn't, but in the cartoon world that they're leaning into, they pretend they have less risk. What people don't realize is when you refuse to look behind the curtain, when you refuse to acknowledge what is, and you only will repeat the mantra of what you've been told, because it's too unbearable to acknowledge the truth. Here's what happens. Not only will you suffer, but the people who are entrusted to your care will suffer too. And that is, I would argue, this is why you see so many marriages and so many families and so many children being destroyed today. It's because you've got people not accepting the agency, the capacity, the responsibility that God gave them. Instead, they choose to be a child, an adult child who has voting rights.
So we're listening in many ways more often to man than we are to God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment.
And so the very same people that we just described who are predatory preying upon us are giving us an illusion that we must believe in order for them to continue to take advantage of us, right? Right.
Well, and we feed into it and allow it to grow by allowing it to happen.
I'll give you a great example. Super Bowl. You got a fake war of two opposing sides. It's a fake war.
Yep, that are the same.
And then you have an entertainment halftime to draw you back in, to let you get your snacks, that gives you your other dopamine hit, and then you finish it out. But what's it really about? At the end of the day, you know what it's about. Cha-ching! Money.
Exactly right.
Has nothing to do with anything of real consequence. And I'll tell you, I think most people, they live their life for that.
Yeah. When's the next hit?
And here's the scariest part. All the while avoiding real fights, real battles of great consequence. Those battles are being waged with no opposing force.
Exactly right. Well, it's because, as we just described here, it's easier to fight about these stupid, insignificant things because you can fight about them all day long behind your screen, But in totality, they literally make zero difference to anything. Like, who cares if you like Bad Bunny and hate Kid Rock, or hate Bad Bunny and love Kid Rock? It makes no difference.
While you're distracted by the show, those over us who are feeding you an illusion are preying on you and stealing from you and taking from you everything that you love and cherish. Mm-hmm. And you're not even fighting back. You're not fighting the real battle. You're fighting an imagined foe.
I think if most of us or many of us are being honest, we kind of know that deep down. But we refuse to, once again, really want to look at it and really want to call it by what it is, because then if we do that, that moves us into the arena of A, accountability, because we've all been part of it in some way, and B, responsibility of knowing, like, if I know this, how can I passively just continue to go along with it?
Okay, I'll ask the question then. Everyone can answer this. You're doing one or the other. Are you playing the character you were raised by this world to fill and play on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you living into the purpose and the person God made you to be? Mm. Because they are not the same.
No, they're not. This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly see it, the road. roads lead back to you.